ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Having a laugh at work feels good, doesn't it? But what if you don't see yourself as a funny person? You could start with something simple, like this.
Knock, knock.
Who's there, Nilu?
Goat.
Goat who?
Goat to come here and see who it is.
Hello, I'm Lisa Leong. You're listening to This Working Life, the Humour Edition. We're going to find out how leaders can learn to be funny at work for the benefit of everyone. Meet Nilu, who told that knock-knock joke. She's also a big fan of Mr. Bean.
My name is Nilupama Vijayavardhana. I am a lecturer in the School of Management at RMIT University in Australia.
When she was working in finance in Sri Lanka, Nilu noticed something interesting.
You had to be quick to make the deals to be making money and profits. So the employees found it really stressful to work there. And I found that they used a lot of humor as a way of relieving the stress, the tension, the pressure that they felt, used humor as a way of dealing with the defeats, not being able to do a good negotiation, and also celebrating their successes as well. So it was mainly a male-dominated company. The females were the minority gender there. So you found a lot of men's jokes, things like horseplay, teasing each other, playing jokes on each other. Not the aggressive kind, but the good-natured kind that helps to relieve tension, to pit each other against, in a competitive way. Sometimes it could get a little bit crazy when two groups are, vying for the same treasury bond or bill, and then they make some kind of sarcastic jokes at each other. But it was all in good nature, and it really helped them to calm down, to relieve the stress, to be bonding over their work, and so on. So I found humor to be very useful in that situation. But the thing was, the managers or the leaders in that company didn't use humor with the employees as much. So the humor was basically done between employees. So I was thinking, as a management graduate, what if managers and leaders used humor intentionally, by choice, to help employees when they are feeling, stressed, when they are feeling defeated, when they are in, difficult work situations, or even to celebrate and to bond with them?
Why do you think the managers weren't making humorous comments or being part of that humor in that work situation then?
So I think it's mostly the culture. The managers were more like top-down command control types of managers and leaders. So the culture was kind of hierarchical in that organization, and managers didn't usually come down to the level of the employees, but they had good relationships with the employees. With humor, you get rid of that hierarchy when you are using humor. You sort of get down to the level of the audience. Also, another reason might be that there was not much interaction between the leaders and the managers. The work teams and the co-workers, they had more interaction with each other than they had with their managers. So for humor to work, you do need a lot of interaction between these parties.
And yeah. So you're research really focuses on the leaders and the managers. So looking at your body of work, how do you think the leaders and managers could have used humour in that workplace?
They could have used humour in instances where the employees were feeling perhaps stressed to lighten the mood. They could have used different jokes or funny anecdotes or wit or, funny remarks to help employees relieve the stress in that situation. A lot of times, if a deal doesn't go well, then the employees, they feel it because it's millions of rupees or money that they are working with. So that can be really demotivating to the employee. So in those situations, if the leader comes in with a funny joke or even makes fun of the party who got that contract, and so there's kind of out-group roasting in that situation, I think it would help the employees to feel better.
What are the effects of the leader or the manager not partaking in the joking or the humour? Because some people might argue that it's fine for the employees to bond together and use humour, but really it's inappropriate maybe for the leader or manager to use humour at work.
Today we want managers and employees to have good relationships with each other. That is really important for first of all, for the organization, because it improves employees' performance, improves employees' loyalty, gets employees to be more productive. And it's good for the leaders as well, because it helps them to better understand their employees, to better bond with them, and to better work with them. And they can also hone their leadership skills of better communication and inspiring employees. And it's good for the employees because they get the feeling that their manager cares about them, and they have this sense of, you know, being looked after, being supported by their manager in work, because work is stressful. There's no other way to say it. It can be inspiring and engaging, but in the end of the day, it can be stressful. So having a manager that uses humor and who supports the employees is really, I think, a very important thing for employees.
But do employees want their leaders to be funny? Nilu began to research the use of humor by leaders to find out.
We did a study in Australia in 2016 where we surveyed Australian employees, and according to their view, the majority of the respondents expected their immediate boss or their leader to use humor with them. So there was an expectation that their leaders will use humor with them to help them to perhaps lighten the load or feel, you know, uplifted during work hours. Yeah.
Let's get technical about humour now then, Nilu. Yeah. So what are the different ways that leaders can use humour at work?
So humour is actually an umbrella term that is used to denote any type of message or any type of communication that has funniness in it, that has an amusing content in it, and it's shared between two or more parties. And because of this funny and amusing content in that message, the person who's receiving it laughs or feels amused by it. So humor can be in any form, in terms of like teasing, canned jokes, sharing anecdotes, doing comedy, even like you making faces at someone, making a funny face, putting your tongue out at someone in an amusing way, even a wink at the appropriate time of a conversation, that can turn into humor. So leaders actually do these kinds of humor behaviors within the workplace, but it happens mostly ad hoc nature. So we say that humor is more often used in the workplace by leaders as a toy rather than a tool that can enhance their leadership skills. So that is where my research came in. So I wanted to see if leaders can actually use humor by choice and intentionally as a tool to help employees to, you know, do their work better, to increase their satisfaction in work, and to help them to perform better at work.
Time for some advice from another kind of humor expert. Amy Hetherington is a comedian and business facilitator who works in Darwin. This is what happens in the room when she's funny.
It can just diffuse a sense of stifledness, especially like emceeing big corporate events or conferences where people go into that space going, oh, this is going to be so dry and so sterile and so difficult to keep motivated in. A good timed joke or a good bit of anecdote or an unexpected bit of humour, you see people's shoulders relax and their eyes like brighten a little bit in terms of how they can take in that information and content. And also it can also allow people to feel more comfortable to put their hand up and get involved, as opposed to just sitting there doom scrolling on Instagram or Facebook waiting for the day to be over.
Amy, have you ever taught leaders how to be funny?
Well, yeah, I guess in a lot of the communication workshops that I do and in teamwork ones, there is humour in that. I mean, it's a hard thing to teach somebody humour, I think. I've often thought about this when people have said, oh, I want to be funnier or I want people to like me more. How do I do that? And I think the moment you start orchestrating it too much, you lose the authenticity, which is actually what humour is so concreted in. Like if you're not being yourself or authentically feeling the thing that you're making a joke of or laughing at, it's very, very contrived and it's a very hard way. People can see straight through it. Like, you know, when you're talking to somebody and you know that they're being somebody that they're not.
Yeah.
We're really good at picking that up, especially in Australia. Like I think networking, when you're seeing somebody who's trying to sell you something or is trying to be gregarious when it doesn't sit comfortably in their body, you can just kind of go, oh yeah, you're not actually present and in this moment. You don't care about me as a human being. So I think authenticity is part of it. So teaching somebody to be funny is more than just one little workshop or one little course book. It's kind of a way of life.
So what are some of the ways leaders could potentially use humour at work in a more authentic way?
I think find something that you know and believe is funny and share that within your own anecdotes and your own personal storytelling that you're doing in the beginning of things. Like, you don't just start a meeting straight away. Like, sometimes there's a bit of that soft talk or that warming up of people, like sharing something that's funny that's happened. Or I think one of the things that's really important is if you don't feel comfortable sharing your own stories, don't do that. Share third person stories or anecdotes that are about bigger groups as opposed to personal things. Because I think one of the main things is bowling in your lane. The more you bowl in your lane, the more likely it is you'll get a strike. So do the things that feel more comfortable to you as a way to introduce humour into the way that you lead. And the other thing I was thinking about is, like, if you're not naturally funny and maybe humour feels like something that's a bit of a stretch or it's something you're working on, surround yourself with humorous people or people that are already in agreement at the office are funny. Like, personality hires are absolutely a thing. And get those people involved in running the meetings or working alongside you to learn from or bounce off them.
You always need a straight person, don't you?
Totally, totally. I wouldn't be half as funny if my husband was funny as well. Like, I can't do jokes about somebody who's equally as entertaining. The fact that he's an engineer and loves a spreadsheet, that contrast is really important.
Oh, I love this. And those set jokes that you were talking about, I mean, how easy are they even to learn if the person isn't naturally funny? Because it is a craft telling a good funny story.
Yeah, I think people underestimate how difficult comedy can be, because part of good comedy is making it look easy. So, like, a good comedian, you watch them and you go, oh, they're just telling me a story. They're just so natural. They're so whatever. It doesn't look like a really hard thing. I could do that. And then that's a big mistake for a lot of people, because it's actually a craft to work out your own voice as a tool and how to use that to articulate a story, your body language, and I guess how it carries as a narrative for yourself. So I think one of the big things in all of this is the more you know yourself and have self-confidence and an authenticity and a belief in who you are, the more likely it is that you can carry that humour through that way. But, yeah, it's not something that you can just learn overnight. I think of humour like a muscle. Like, you go to a gym and that muscle gets stronger over time, and humour is one of those things too. So you've got to surround yourself with funny things.
Comedian and corporate facilitator Amy Hetherington. A bit later, we'll open up a research-based humour toolkit and see what's inside. So what are the first steps for leaders searching for their version of funny? Here's Amy with some ideas to get you started.
Involving yourself in different types of comedy to find out what that actually is. It's kind of like dating. Like, you can't just go to the same place and meet the same people over and over again. You've got to put yourself out there, don't you? I mean, I haven't dated for a very long time, so I don't know if that actually works.
I have
anymore.
No idea what you're talking about.
No, neither do I. I haven't swiped left or right in a forever.
Is that like what they do?
I don't know. It's been a long time. But I do think that there is something in putting yourself into different circumstances, because humour and your own reflections on things are discovered through being out of comfort zones and being in different areas. So go to stand-up comedy shows, watch different shows on Netflix, read funny books to see the written style of humour and experience that, work out what you find is funny. Maybe even keep some little notes in your phone on, oh, I thought that was funny, this is why I think it's funny. Ask that question, why, because it's a really valuable one to uncover these things. And when you can start to see the patterns in that, then you can work out what your sense of humour is and then work out how that fits appropriately within your workplace.
What do you think makes a work scenario or situation funny?
Well, I work for myself, so I don't know what it's like to have colleagues anymore, but I know that human beings are funny, because yeah, we do funny things that are unexpected or a bit bizarre or a bit annoying. So humour sits in things that, I guess, surprises and delights you, or something that is relatable, or something that you, like, you know, when you sit back and you go, oh, that's something that's happened to me, I get that, that's a real thing. So the humanness is, I guess, where the humour is in offices. So it's about finding the human elements or the relatable parts of it.
And maybe it's that common irritant that everyone just finds super annoying at work.
Oh, yeah.
And can't explain why.
Totally. Low-hanging fruit is always a good one to go for comedy. So it's like, you know, something that could have been a five-minute conversation that turns into a two-hour meeting. That is always fodder for people to laugh. Somebody organising a meeting at 4:20 on a Friday afternoon. Yes, you can make fun of them. They should be aware that their actions deserve criticism. Like, I think anything like that where you go, oh, yeah, everyone has shaken their head or complained. The fact there's no forks in the kitchen. The fact that somebody has left food in the communal fridge for months at a time. low-hanging fruit, commonality, that kind of stuff. It's relatable and people can laugh at it. Plus, it's safe. You're not going at something about race or sexism or difference. You're going at it because of communal, shared experience.
Well, let's talk about when something isn't funny then, Amy. So what's the danger zone here at work?
So things that stop people from laughing are when they are offensive or they're punching down. Is that kind of statement that you use in comedy when you're making somebody who has less power feel less powerful? Other things that stop people from laughing is if it's too crude or rude or gross. Maybe they don't understand it because they don't have the context to understand what makes that funny. That can be a cultural thing or an experience thing, an age thing. It can also be that the delivery of the joke wasn't clear enough. So if it's convoluted, wordy, a little bit messy, stumbled over the words, then the joke can be lost because of the delivery. So it's all about understanding and a shared understanding of what is appropriately funny, which is tricky because that is changing all the time.
And I wonder whether that's why we're somewhat reticent as leaders to use humour at work, just in case.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't want to be that leader that gets cancelled for making a joke, right? You don't want to be that one that somebody puts a complaint to HR with, which is why it's really important. Humour needs to be authentic and humour needs to be built in with a part of who you are and your core values as a leader, I think. It's not something that you just kind of go, all right, we're doing humour now. This exists. It needs to come naturally. And if it doesn't, that's kind of okay. Like, you don't have to be everything for everybody. I think that takes away what makes you your own leader and your own set of strengths. Like I said before, bring in the people that have humour if that's something that you feel your workplace can benefit from, or co-host your meetings or things with somebody who has that kind of natural charisma that is agreed as humorous. Because I think the more we try to do everything as a leader, the less likely we are being useful because we're trying too hard to be something for everybody else.
And Amy, what's your final piece of advice for leaders who want to get better at using humour at work?
Be kind to yourself is probably a nice one as well. Like, if it's not coming naturally, like, don't force it. It's like, you know, you can give yourself some real medical issues by forcing poos out. It's the same for forcing humour out. If it's not going naturally, give yourself some time and have a crack at it when you're ready.
Well, got to admit, toilet humour is pretty much always funny, as comedian Amy Hetherington has just demonstrated. But there are other things leaders can do to promote humour too. Dr. Neelu Widjawardena says it's more than just what you say.
It's also important the way that you express it, the tone of your voice, the look on your face, what emotions you are displaying when you're saying it, the way you're standing even. So there's this communication aspect of humour that needs to be, you know, you need to get it right for it to be delivered effectively to the audience. And also, you should not give away the punchline before you come to the punchline. Then if you do that, the audience will not find it funny at all.
Neelu and her colleagues have developed a program and a toolkit to help leaders learn how to use humour at work.
So in our toolkit, we give specific instructions on the skills and abilities you need to master that. Also, to be able to use humour, you do need to have good communication skills, verbally, written, and also through your body language. You also need to be able to manage your emotions. So humour usually leads to positive emotions if it is positive humour, and negative humour leads to negative emotions. So managers will also be needed to be given training in emotional intelligence and also how to be creative.
Can you tell us about some of the skills and abilities in that toolkit and give us some examples?
Yeah, so the first skill that the manager needs to learn is to be able to match two incompatible ideas together to make something surprising. So if you look at the standard knock-knock joke, you start with saying knock-knock. Knock-knock.
Who's there, Neelu?
Goat.
Goat who?
Goat to come here and see who it is. The end of that joke has some kind of surprising element in it.
Got it.
Humor has to have this surprising element, and it's this surprising element that makes people laugh.
And it's good just maybe working with simple jokes.
Exactly. So that's why we say don't try risky humor at first if you are not humor savvy if you're not inherently funny. So we expect managers to use humor, you know, little doses of humor, very non-risky, even canned jokes that they are comfortable with, that they can very successfully communicate to their employees. So try with small doses of humor first. As you build up your confidence, you can try more risky types of humor, and you can then try to write your own jokes, try to write your own humor content. And you can try to do this in your mind and, you know, become inherently good at coming up with humor content as you move on.
What about that power dynamic that you can have between a leader and an employee when it comes to potentially getting that humor wrong?
So there are instances of failed humor. That's when the employee doesn't really, you know, get the joke, or the employee misinterprets it or misunderstands it. And then this can be quite embarrassing to the leader because there is a power dynamic. After all, leaders have this authority in the workplace, and they expect, I mean, kind of respect from the employee. And if the employee senses that the humor that the leader has said is not good, there's could be an embarrassing moment. But we propose that there should be open channels of communication for humor to be properly used. And there should also be a good relationship between the leader and the employee for humor to work productively. So if the employee has a good trusting relationship with their leader, even if the leader does some really crazy joke or says something that's totally unfunny, there's not going to be much of a problem in terms of embarrassment or in terms of a loss of, you know, face for the leader. But if the leader doesn't have a good relationship with the employee, or if even if the leader has a very kind of negative relationship with the employee, it can be disastrous if you use humor and it's failed humor and the employee is very, you know, upset by it, or doesn't really think this is funny, and it's kind of he or she may think it's insulting to them as well.
What about the idea that using humour in the workplace might affect the gravitas, your gravitas as a leader, especially if you're female?
So joking behaviour for females is a bit biased, I'm sorry to say. So if you're a female leader and you use humour, you might be doing yourself harm, because the research shows that people don't rate female leaders who use humour as being quite successful as they would rate a male leader. But females do use humor in the workplace, and usually they use more humor with their own female groups of, you know, leaders or female groups of employees. And that humor is said to be more collaborative and more, you know, relationship building rather than contesting and very competitive.
And are there any other skills that leaders should be getting that are more important perhaps than making employees laugh?
Well, leadership is quite, you know, it's unique. Leaders are, we expect leaders to be very inspiring. They should have the charisma. They should, you know, they should motivate employees, especially in this day and age, because leaders who are very commanding, controlling, you know, not listening, these leaders can't survive in this modern environment, because employees want their leaders to be very human. They want to be, you know, engaging. They actually want meaning from their work lives. So leaders should have a variety of skills. They should be, you know, good listeners. They should empathize with their employees. They should be able to support employees' well-being. But humor can do all these things, and humor can be weaved into the style of a leader, and the leader can sort of become a more humane, more understanding, and more empathetic person by the use of constructive humor that helps and supports employees in the workplace.
Thank you so much, Nilu.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Nilu Widjawardena is a lecturer in management at RMIT University. And you heard earlier from comedian and corporate facilitator Amy Hetherington. So leaders, take note. You can learn to lighten up. Employees want you to be more human, and that could include using humour if that feels right to you. Watch some comedy to find out what makes you laugh so you can be authentic when telling a story or a joke. Don't use humour in a negative way, and always be respectful of your audience. If you get it right, you can make work more fun for everyone and help to reduce stress. On our next episode, we're doing a rewind. A little over 3 years ago, we asked experts to peer into a crystal ball and make predictions about the future of work. Were they right? And what do they think is in store for us in the next 3 years? This Working Life is on the ABC Listen app. Search for the program, tap the pink heart so you can stay up to date with all of our episodes. I'm Lisa Leong. Thanks for listening. This program was produced by Michelle Weeks, mixed by Carrie Dell on the lands of the Wurundjeri people in Naam, Melbourne. Until next time, work it, baby.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations, live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.